I think so, yeah. Okay. We are on 72. No, no. Am I mistaken about that? No. Yeah, 72. What is that we're up to? I think so. I think we're up to the Mishnah. Yeah. No, we're sure not up to 74. Okay, Lam Vav and Beis. Till now we've spoken about things which make a nazir not just tame, but also break his nazirus. And make him cancel his nazirus. So says the Mishir, if a nazir is under a schach, means under a roof, together with a it's not exactly a roof, it's a if it's a roof, he would become tame, but it's like a schach is made out of tree branches. Right. So there's tree branches too, right? Except it's still attached to the tree. So it's questionable if he's on the same branch as the dead body, right? There's a dead body under the tree, but he doesn't know if he's on the same branch specifically as the dead body. But pros, also you have pros are where you have stones jutting out of a house, and you don't know if he was on the same stone jutting out of the house as the dead body, right?
Oh, you're talking like for a tent.
Yeah, for a tent, right. Well, Beis HaPras is a questionable, is a field where it's a question whether a grave was plowed under in that field. There it's Amim. Going into Chutzlaretz, and Chutzlaretz, you know, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we potentially assume that there might be cemeteries all over the place. Ba'golel, ba'dofek, these are the coverings of either it's a big dispute with Rashi and Tosfos Ra'al Shas, either it's the covering of the grave and the covering of the grave, or a burial cave and the covering of the burial cave. Or V is dam, and a quarter of a measure of blood, as opposed to a half a measure, which we spoke about in the previous Mishnah. V ohel, and being in a tent, and touching a tent, or being in a tent with this quarter of a measure of blood. The robot Thomas, the same thing. With a quarter of a measure of bones, we said in the previous mission that has to be a full measure of bones. The kelim manogim b'meis, and vessels which touch a dead body. If he touches those vessels, all those things don't make him break his nazirus. Okay, b'meis sviro. Also, if he's shifting gears, if he's counting days after tzaras, right? He has to count 7 clean days of tzaras. We made Gomro, or the days in which he is considered to be a leper for sure, before he becomes Tohar. Elu ein nazir megalech, on all these a nazir does not shave. Okay? Now, ve'ein umazir shlishi b'shvi, nevertheless, he does become Tomei, in all these, in the previous case, the beginning of Mishnah, he does become Tomei, but and umazir shlishi b'shvi, and therefore he has to go through the process of 7 days of purification, and he has to have sprinkled about and pour aduma ashes on the third day and the seventh day. But ve'ein osos sekom, he doesn't cancel the days he kept previously. For those days, he's in suspended animation. Okay, so let's say he counted 20 days. He becomes Tomei in a tumor which is not direct contact with the dead body, but rather one of the indirect contacts mentioned in our Mishnah. So he breaks for 7 days, and then he goes back afterwards and counts another 10 days. Another 10, right? 10, 20 plus 10 equals. So altogether, we have 37 days. But those days in the middle where he was like in suspended animation. So he doesn't break the previous ones. And then when he begins, again, after those 7 days over, Monem Miyadik starts counting immediately from where he left off. The carbon ain't, he doesn't bring a carbon, right? No, if nausea gets tummy in the type of tumors which break his nazirus, then he has to bring a carbon. This nausea did not get tummy with such a tumor, so therefore he doesn't bring a carbon. Bamasaru, and in truth they said. Gemara is going to say in truth means Halacha Moshe Misinai. This is a direct tradition from Sinai. Yimei Azav Vazava, the days of a Zav or a Zava, right, a man or woman who has a, you know, this some sort of venereal disease. Yimei Azgerusha Metzora, and the days of the Metzora, when he's not yet determined to be officially a Metzora, but he's shut away in quarantine to see if his Saraz is going to grow or not. Harelu Olinlo, these days count for him, meaning that they count as part and parcel. The clock doesn't start stop ticking. Only when a case where he is Tamei Tumas Meis, where the clock stops ticking for that time when he's Tamei Tumas Meis. In this case, that's not the case. He continues counting through those days. Okay? Now, the question that Gemara asked immediately has to do with the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah had said that if you have an aver, a limb, which has enough flesh on it, and from a dead body, the nazir touches it, he becomes tamei, and he has to break his nazirus. But here it doesn't say in our Mishnah, contradistinction, a limb which doesn't have enough flesh on it. It doesn't say anything about limbs, the size of a limb. It just talks about blood and bones. So what about a limb, if you have a limb which doesn't have sufficient flesh upon it, meaning it's not considered truly a limb anymore, right? Has a bone, has some flesh, but not enough flesh. Right, so Rabbi Yochanan might have been a Sime Lahokil. That something less than a full limb will go lenient, and therefore doesn't break his nazirus. Rabbi Shimon Lakshim might have been a Sime, something less than a full limb, Lachmir does, but we're severe, and it does break his nazirus. Now, being a Sime, what is this in between thing we're talking about? Ze every mina meis, it's a limb of a dead body, or every mina chai, or limb of a live person which got severed. Shein aleim basa karoi, it doesn't have enough flesh. Now, an important point which the Gemara itself doesn't make inside, but the commentaries make here, is that it has to be that the bone which is inside this limb has been pulverized. Because if that bone has the size of a barley kernel left in its size, then that bone in and of itself would generate tumor. Because if another touches a bone the size of a barley kernel, that breaks his nazirus. So our question here concerns a limb with pulverized bone and not enough flesh on it.
So in a case where a nazir gets hurt and they have to cut his leg off,
No, because they could sever his leg in a way that doesn't touch him.
Oh.
That's what they have to do.
The leg has to touch him.
Yes. Okay. So it would have to be done, and it's kind of strange. It have to be done in a way in which, say, he would be able to have his leg, which is being amputated, stuck outside the room. Like, they have to make a hole in the wall, right? Or a tent, right? So that way it wouldn't be a problem. Okay? So says Mara, boy, Rabbi Yossi, boy. You see where we are? Four lines down in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi, boy, Rabbi Yossi asks, I don't understand, he says. Minayin etzem kitzora, how do we know that a bone the size of a barley kernel, it makes a nazir tummy. Lomin adin kroy is enough in this pasuk. Obetzim adam, or in the bone of a person, the bone of a person. So and we learned that the minimum size of a bone is a barley kernel. So achat avila kisora, there, normal, meaning in normal cases, we say that the minimum size of a bone is a barley kernel. V'acha here, Aravel opposed me, Kusara, you're saying that you're making even a smaller, much more minimal amount, which is a limb, which has pulverized bone and not enough flesh. Where'd you get such a small measurement from? How do you know that doesn't make you tummy? According to Reish Lakish, who says that we're severe by it. So Tani, Rav Shmuel Rav Duma, Shmuel Duma said, I have a pasuk for it. It says, Bechalo, if you touch a casualty. Bechalo means koshu cholo. And Bechalo means any type of casualty, no matter what the size. Bechalo is ever minames. It can be a limb from a dead body, Bechalo, a limb from a live body, Shedele and Bosa Karoi, where there's not enough flesh on it. Okay? Period. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Schachos upros."
These canopies of trees, and the awnings of stones jutting out of the wall. Torah ain etzel truma.
The truth is, he says that if the truma, it goes under goes under such a canopy with a dead body, it becomes tameh. If an individual went under such a canopy, then wants to eat truma, he's forbidden to do so midoraisa. But ein anozer megalech. Nevertheless, a nozer does not become tameh. It's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. It seems that a nozer needs to have definite truma doraisa with a legitimate ohel, meaning an actual roof, in order to become tameh, not under one of these questionable types of awning. Branches or stones would not be sufficient, right? That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, I don't understand what you're trying to say. Imli Srof, we're talking about to burn the truma itself, because it came into questionable status. I feel a suffix divrim, even if it's a simple suffix rabbanon, even if it's a question in the rabbanon, sorry when we burn the truma. And im lilkos, if you want to say, im here should really be like ella. Rather, it's in terms of being flogged. And it means that if you have, if you were tame in such a way, in any way, truma intentionally, then we flog you for it. Okay? So Tani Reb, Tani Reb Tzidinah, it's actually a word name missing, it should be Rabbi Yossi Tzidinah. Rabbi Yossi of Sidon taught in front of Ramir the following statement, which seems to argue on Rabbi Yirmiyah. It says there in this statement, and we'll actually have the statement again towards the end of the evening if we get there tonight, kol tuma min ames, any tuma from a dead body, shanozir megalech, which causes a nozir to have to shave, chayovin aleh bias mikdash. If you enter the Beis HaMikdash after having come into contact with such a tumah, then you're liable for the prohibition of having entered the Beis HaMikdash tameh. Now, the Shari Torah Yisrael proves that the proper girsa here, although I don't know if it's the proper girsa necessarily, but he probably proves that the import here is to get flogged, not just at the end of the Beis HaMikdash. It's you transgress, but you get flogged for it. So we see, because that's where you get flak for anything based on mitzvah stomach. So kol tuma min ames shanozer migalech olav chelavin olav bias mikdash, and you get flak for it. Kol tuma, four lines from the bottom. Kol tuma min ames, any tuma from a dead body she'ein hanozer migalech olav, which your nozer does not shave because after having come into contact with such tuma. You're not liable for coming to Beis Mikdash, and also the inference is that there is no flogging for it. So this is not like Rabbi Yirmiyah, because Rabbi Yirmiyah said you'll get flogged for eating truma after having gone onto such a canopy with trees or with stones. But we see here, no, that's not true. If the nazir doesn't break his nazirus as a result of such a tuma, there's no malchus on it, there's no flogging in it, whether for entering the Beis HaMikdash or for eating truma tome. Okay, so that's a refute Rabbi Yirmiyah's statement that for the canopy creates sufficient tuma in order to be metame, the individual who walks under the tree, that he should get flogged if he eats truma. Doesn't. If it's only the type of tumor which breaks in the zeros, is the type of tumor which you get flogged to be truma afterwards. Okay? There's a linkage between the two. Says more, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, second line from the bottom. Rove the Elon, let's say the canopy of the tree, Shiesh ben Arbo Arbo, it has 4x4 tefachim. Right? You can, the branch itself, the branches themselves are sufficiently close together that there's definitely 4x4 tefachim in the canopy that they form. So then, if you go underneath it, and there's dead body underneath part of that canopy, another shapes on that. Okay, he has to break his breaks in the zeros. Megalech is a euphemism for breaking the zeros. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yossi said, "Name Rabbi Yochanan." Tzido achas b'tzad ze, yodo achas b'tzad ze, yodo achas b'rovin. Now imagine like this:
Let's say this is the canopy of the tree. It's not 4x4. I put my hand here and makes it 4x4. Then I put my other hand under here. So what's the status over then? And there's a mace underneath here, right? There's a dead body under here as well. So does my hand make up the missing measurement of the tree? That's the question. You're correct. Okay? That's what it says over here. You're the top of the Mount Zion. Ein ha-nazir megalech. Nazir does not have to break his nazirus on that, in that case. Now, the next statement of Rabbi Yossi is kind of cryptic in that it's a non sequitur. It doesn't follow here. And the Shai Tersel tries to cut it out and paste it elsewhere. I'm just going to learn it as being totally non-related to our discussion here, but rather related to Mishnah Olos. The Mishnah Olos says, for beginning of the sixth parak of Olos, Pnei Moshe actually says this, that a person or vessel can become an ohel, can become an awning in order to create tuma, but not in order to bar tuma from penetrating. In other words, in the case I had before, if I make a hand and my hand is over the mace and over something else, so it'll create an awning that the thing will become tummy. But on the other hand, if this is the mace and I want to create a barrier between the mace, and it can't create a barrier. So that's strange. That's exactly what Yossi says. Yossi, if it creates a barrier in terms of tuma, right, to bring the tuma, to create a barrier in terms of generating tara. We made a chotis in the tuma. If it does create a barrier in front of tuma, then it shouldn't create a barrier in front of tara either. He doesn't understand why the dichotomy. But the Mara just leaves it dangling. Mara doesn't give an answer. Okay? It's kind of out of left field. That's why there probably is something missing here. But no, not that I recall. Most of our learning tonight, I don't recall from the Bali, but I don't recall Nazir that well. Rabbi Yochan said, there's a little bit of background information missing here, which we should supply outside. If you have tuma in a room, let's say there was a corpse in this room, so all the pathways to which the corpse would travel to go outside the house are tame as well. Even though the corpse is not right now in the outer room, but since the corpse will have to travel through the outer room to get out, right? So everything in its pathway is tame. Okay? So far, so good? So let's say you have a case like this. You have under a bed in a room. Okay? You have under a bed in a room, you have a mace, a dead body, and a nazir. Well, it's a similar idea, but I don't know if we have precisely this case. You're under a bed in a room, you have a dead body and a nazir. Okay? So, in this case, the nazir doesn't necessarily have to break his nazirus. Because a bed doesn't create an ohel. Right? A bed doesn't create an oil. No. We're going to learn why later on. He's not, the mace is not necessarily going to exit where the nazir is. On the contrary, the mace is going to exit by being taken out from under the bed in the other direction and taken outside the room. So therefore, the larger oil of the room does not unite the nazir and the mace for reasons we're going to discuss in a few moments. So therefore, in this case, we say the nazir is actually... The nazir actually remains tar. Okay? Now, that's not here inside yet. That's all that we didn't see inside. Now let's pick up all that's preliminary. Now, right. Hameis babayis, if the dead body is in the house, banazir tachsimita, and the nazir is under the bed. Also here, the Shai Tersel throws in the word ein, okay? Ein ha-nazir megalech. The nazir does not have to shave either. Because then, of course, the nazir will remain under the bed while the corpse exits the house. It's not a problem. Koshkein, and this, however, this is certainly true. Hameis tachas hamita, if the mace is under the bed, v'nozer abayis, and the nozer is in the room, zen megalech, then it breaks his nazirus. Why is it breaking his nazirus in that case? Because in that case, the mace is going to come through the room where the nozer is in order to exit. So therefore, the tumah is as if we're already in the room. So nozer in that case comes to me. Now here we have to throw in, that's the end of Rabbi Yochanan's statement so far. Now, obviously, this statement requires a lot of explanation. So let's go down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines, and let's plug in Rabbi Mona's statement in the end of the 6-line tense. Okay? Rabbi Mona asks a question. Okay? It's a very logical question, which everybody's got to ask. You see Rabbi Mona? The end of the line? Reish Mona. Do about that. Rabbi Mona asks, "Im ovel lochutz." Look it. If the bed is a sufficient barrier if the nazir and the mace are under the bed, that the rest of the house doesn't combine the two, and therefore the nazir can remain tar and the mace remains tar. So it means it's preventing the outer larger oil of the room from joining the mace with the nazir, right? So if the bed is sufficient oil lachutz to divide between the rest of the room and the two of them under the bed, so then yeol hamshich, it should be its own oil, that everything under the bed should affect each other, and therefore the mace should affect the nazir. Im ein oel hamshich, if it's not a tent in order to bring tuma from the mace to the nazir, right? Then on the other hand, also tipka truma, then let the tuma break through the bed and envelop the entire room. So how do you draw a dichotomy? Let's go back up to Rabbi Yochanan, which is the 6th line down from the top. You see that? The 6th line from the top? Rabbi Yochanan, I'll tell you. Rabbi Yochanan, this is really an answer. If you have a dead body and a nazir underneath the bed legs, underneath the stomach of a camel, shakuf underneath the, I don't know exactly what a shakuf is, actually. I think it's under under some sort of threshold of some sort. Tachas malterios, under some sort of ornamental awnings. The nazir and the mace are under these two things at the same time. Ein a nazir megalech. The nazir doesn't shame in all these things. Why the low kol davar and not anything else? She'eino nira lahagin. Not anything else which is not made for protection. Says your shenir lahagin should be she'eino nira lahagin. What defines an ohel? When that thing is made for protective purposes, such as the roof of a house. But if it's a bed is not made for protective purposes, right? If it's an animal stomach is not made for protective purposes. If it's the awning over the front of a house or ornamental pillars, they're not made for protective purposes. They're made for awning, right? For ornament. So therefore, if the mace and nazir are underneath that type of structure, the tumah does not transfer from one to the other. It's talking about specifically an ornamental one. You're right, and a general one it would be. So that's what I say. We're saying when it's a barrier, but not an oil. That's in fact what we're saying. That when you have the mace and the nazir under the bed, so the bed is a barrier to the rest of the house. But it's not an awning to bring the tumor from one half of the bed to the other half of the bed. An umbrella? It's made to protect. It would be an awning. Because Chaznish says it's not an awning because it's like an article of clothing. It's not an independent awning. Okay? So it says, Shama Chizkiah. So Chizkiah heard this. Farmer said, "Toru Mason, that's case. Forget it. There's no such thing as Tumas Mace anymore.
Because on any OL, you could say it's an OL for non-protective purposes. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, now, similar idea. Hames Babayis, you have a house, the house is really a room, and then you have a banquet hall. Now, people go back and forth between the house and the banquet hall. Okay? They're like a great hall and a rest house. Hames Babayis, let's say the dead body is in the house, Vanozi Betrachlin. And the nazir is in the hall, in the great hall. So a nazir megalech, nazir has to shave, because it's possible that they'll bring the mace through the trachlin, through the banquet hall, to get out, right? So there's equal traffic in both directions. How koshkin, and it's certainly true, therefore, a mace betrachlin, if the mace is in the hall, Nazir Rabbis, and the nazir in the house there, nazir megalech, nazir will shave as well. It's more likely, of course, it's going to go through the house, from the hall to the house, and then out. But it's also possible that it'll go from the hall, from the house into the hall, and then out. So therefore, we say in both directions, the nazir has to shave. Okay? Let's give three lines, because we read the three lines I just read before. Rabbi Yochanan said, similar idea. Tuma Michatzi, now here there's a lot missing here in this next line and a half. Tuma Michatzi Koisel, if you have Tuma on a wall, and it's for half of the wall Velachutz on the outside, which it's half, the walls definitely you see back there were much thicker. So the Tuma is halfway through the wall and beyond, right? In the outer half of the wall, that's what I mean to say. Let's say the wall is 2-3 feet thick, and the tumor's in the outer 1 foot of the wall, and the nazir's on the inside of the wall. He's in the house. So where's the tumor going to go? It's going to go out. No. So it's like on the outside, so the nazir's not tummy, right? Now, however, if tumah is, again, this is not inside the Gemara. I'm telling you outside the Gemara, but the Shari Torah has all changed it. But if tumah is in the inner part of the wall, right, meaning in the inner half of the wall, then we say, ha-nozir megalech, nozir doshe, because then it's more likely instead of going directly out, it's going to be brought into the house, right, and then taken out through the house, right? And the Shaitar Yisrael chain throws in here as well. Mechta, mechta, if it's exactly halfway through the wall, the nazir misafik doesn't have to shave, he doesn't break his nazirus. Okay? Rabbi Yosha, you see Rabbi Yosha? Rabbi Yosha? Tuma tmuna bekarko shabahis. If you have tuma buried tuma in a house, nazir megalech, nazir shaves. Now, according to this understanding, the tumah in the floor spreads through, there's no bed over it to break it, right? So it spreads through the entire house, and any nazirs in the house are going to have to shave. There's another girsa here, which the Shari Torah Yisrael brings down, which is that ein nazir megalech. The nazir doesn't have to shave. And he brings down that we're going to have in a later parak, of course, I have not seen it, that if nazir, when tumah is buried, the nazir must step directly over that spot where the buried tumah is in order to become tummy.
It's kind of strange, though, if you have a floor
with the mace, it still spreads through. Yeah. That's according to simple pshat. But the Shai Terzo agrees with you that it's strange. He says it's not the case. So he takes out Eina Nozi Megalech. He says, should say Eina Nozi Megalech, unless you walk exactly over that spot where the mace is buried. Which is like you're saying. Okay? Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Shimon Yosha said, Ro Binyono, if you have the majority of the spinal column and the structure of the dead person, Rominono, and most of the bones of the skeleton of the dead person, and nazir megalech. Nevertheless, nazir doesn't shave. Why? Because nazir only shaves if it comes into contact with a dead body, and this is not considered to be enough of a dead body for nazir to shave. Even though, in terms of a mace, in terms of tumas mace, this is enough to make tumas mace. Nevertheless, nazir doesn't have to shave for that, because he has to come into contact not just with
tumah, but with tumah of a dead body, which means he has to have at least some flesh. Skeleton is not enough.
Okay, this has one. Bones alone
are not enough. But the thing is like this. It, again, it's a very ambiguous thing because it, above a certain amount of bones, a chati kav, that's almost, the bone themselves are mitame. So it's obviously a very small skeleton. Okay, so it's because once you get up to the size of chati kav, that's almost, then that in and of itself creates tumor. Okay, now the Mishnah said that in truth, then the Nazir is a Zov or a Mitzora, so then he can continue counting his days, right? So it says more, Be'emes, Damar Rabbi Lezer, Be'emes, Damar Rabbi Lezer, Komoko, that which Emes, which Rabbi Lezer said in our Mishnah, that Be'emes, in truth they said, Komoko, Shishinu, Be'emes, every time he tells you the time we use the word Be'emes, Halachomo should be saying that, that tells us that the thing involved, the issue involved is Halachomo should be seen that issue. Okay, so Lach Mashusinai teaches us that a Nazir who becomes Tame in and of itself does not necessarily lose his Nazirus. Now, Yiplu Ki Tame Nizro, it says his days fall when he makes his Nazirus Tame. Mikan, from here we learn, Shetmeim Noflim, that the days when he's Tame fall off, not that it breaks the Nazirus. In certain cases, he becomes Tame, but it doesn't break his Nazirus. But those days fall. Right? The case of our Mishnah, although he becomes Tame, they don't break his Nazirus, but those days fall off. So it says more of a Yistor, let it break the Nazirus altogether, those days. No, and of course, so ser el yimei meisbubad. The only days which break the Nazirus are days of actual contact with the dead body, not contact with Tumas Meis, but contact with the dead body itself. Okay? Says the Gemara. Now, this is a new issue, actually, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said if he's a definite Mitzora, a definite leper, during the days he's closeted away, and during the days that he's trying to become Torah from that leprosy, they don't count. Right? They don't count. Unlike the days in which he's in quarantine, before he's definitely declared a leper, which do count, the days that he's, What?
If it's questionable,
then he can continue counting through, right? But not days he's definite or days he's coming out of it. So it says the Mora, why not? Maim Yomim. Vlo Yalu, says the Mora. They don't count. Why not? Maim Yomim Shaosi Mishkov Moshov. The days of Azov. When he makes things he lies on or things he sits on tummy, because his zav is super tummy. Ataymer olin, you say those days count. Yomish enosi mishkav moshav, days which when mitzora is not his tummy, right? He doesn't make things he sits on or lies on tummy. And the shelu, why can't they count? Machom is meir shelim. What did you see that you say they don't count? Amar Rabbi. I know this is Omer Rabbi somebody, but Shem Rabbi Shimon Lakish. I'll tell you why. Gadel Parasarosho. He has to be days in which he can grow wild the hair of his head. Yom Shogidur said days in which he can grow the hair of his head only, and they count towards the zeros. Yomim shall have Boras. Turning the page, say days which the hair growing eventually have to be shaved off. Anolim, they don't count. Now, it's an interesting point. The hair is growing when he's becoming tar from being a Mitzora. He's eventually going to have to shave. Because the Mitzora has to shave. So those days don't count because it's hair grown for the purpose of shaving. It's not hair grown, right, like a nausea, which you can grow ad infinitum. Okay? Akadim Mesvir, that's true about the days when he's counting Tara leading up to his eventual haircut. But if he may go on with the days that he's a definite Mitzvah living outside the camp, as the Torah dictates, he can grow his hair as long as he wants, and the contrary is not even allowed to take a haircut then. So why can those days count towards Nazirus? So Rabbi Yochanan, B'Shem Rabbi Yanai said it's a special halacha. It says, you know, in last week's parsha, when Miriam became a leper,
And so Aaron said to Moshe, I'll not take a mace. You shouldn't be like a dead person, like a corpse.
Right.
So we see Taras like a corpse. Right?
Oh, right.
So therefore, if death breaks his ears, Taras breaks his ears as well. Okay? At least it doesn't count. They won't break it, but it can't count. Maya may say, well, just like if a nazir comes in contact with death, even indirectly, so it doesn't break his nazirus, but it puts his nazirus into suspended animation until he becomes tohor, right? Afi mehezger, so to the days in which he's a death, it says here hezger, but it should be the days in which he's a muchlot, the days in which he's muchlot. When he's a definite nazir, Gazman Mitzora ain't only they don't count as well. Chad Bey Rebbe, one student, Amra Dad Rabbi Yochanan Kuner Shimon Lakish.
He said this this word for Rabbi Yochanan, the comparison between lepers and death in front of Reish Lakish. Loki Bel Lavi, Reish Lakish did not accept this comparison. He said, "Hachat avid lehezger, v'hachat avid lehechleit." Here you're sometimes you're learning that this thing with Miriam is comparable to hezger, the days of quarantine prior to actually being a nazir, and sometimes you're learning it has to do with the days in which she's definitely considered a Mitzora. Which one is it? Is it definitely a Mitzora? Was Miriam definitely a Mitzora? Was Miriam just in quarantine? Maybe she's a Mitzora. Says the Gemara, Leis Yochil. You can't learn out from this drasha. Where do I see a case where it says that it's days of Hezger? Because it says the Adam Rabbi Yochan actually is already the answer. The reason why Reish Lakish asks the question, because it says in the pasuk itself, "Tisoger shivas yamim." It says she should be quarantined for 7 days. It doesn't call it she's definitely a mitzora, right? So therefore, how can you learn out to definite days? So Leis Yochil says, "More no, you can't ask this question." Don Rabbi Yochan, Mishem Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Yochan is the name Rabbi Yana. Al not tehe kameis tisoger. Actually, I'm not sure if this is an answer now. No, this is part of the question. You can't learn out from here because this whole pasuk is teaching us something else. It's teaching us the Amar of Yochanan B'Shem Rabbi Yana, which Rabbi Yochanan named Rabbi Yana, I'm not a kemes tisoger. She shouldn't be like a corpse. There should be quarantine. My yimei. It really should be backwards. The transpose the word from the next line with the word over here. Mayame hezger. The days of quarantine are 7, Shiva. Afimei hamei Shiva. From here learn there's 7 days of avelus when somebody dies. Just like Mira's put in for 7 days. So name it, the Gemara actually ends with the question. The Gemara ends the question and says, you want to say that from here we learn a Mitzora is like dead, and therefore that it has to put the Naziris into suspended animation, right? But the truth is we can't learn out from this puzzle. This puzzle is about the days when the Mitzora is in quarantine. And days of Mitzora is in quarantine, you said anyway they can count towards the Naziris. We need to have a puzzle that teaches that the days that the Mitzora is definitely a Mitzora can't count towards the Naziris. You haven't brought me a puzzle to that effect. That's the kind of puzzle I need. Okay? Yeah, it's also not. It is differently entirely. But so therefore,
she had the 7 days of like the father's being.
Right. It was a unique circumstance there. Anyway, the Gemara doesn't say that, but that's an obvious reason not to learn from there. Agreed. Okay, look it down. Rabbi Elazar ben Shua ben Shua. Let's say his name, Rabbi Yeshua. Kol tuma min ames, any tuma from a dead person. Shanozi Megaleach Olav, which a nazir shaves because he came into contact, in other words, breaks in his ears. Chayom Elabi Asmikdash, if you enter the base of Mikdash after such a tumah,
after I become tummy in that way, so you're liable. You get flagged, you get the car race, and we're just going to say what exactly you get. But Chotum Ames, any tumor from a dead body, Shein Nozim Galechla, which a nozim does not break, isn't serious after that. And Chilav Abias Mikdash, you don't, not liable for the base of Mikdash after that. Amrei Meir Meir said, I don't understand. Lote Kalamina, Lote Zu Kalamina Sheretz. This should be no less than, no more lenient than if you came to Kalamina with a dead rodent. So it became kind of dead rodent, he's not allowed to enter the base of Mikdash. Why here, the two months of Mesa that you're talking about here, why is this any worse than a dead rodent? It should be Mitami. I'm Rabbi Lezer, now new issue. I'm Rabbi said, Don't even hear Rabbi Lezer. I learned it from Rabbi Lezer. I said, I don't understand. It said that you only become Tame if you're Nazir, to break your Nazirus if you come to contact with a half a measure of bones and a half a measure of blood. Why so much? Then much require much less. Mayim Etzogazar. If a bone the size of a barley kernel, Shainu Matame Sa'odim Ba'oel and Ba'oel, which doesn't make a person Tame in a tent. It only makes a person Tame if he touches it physically. The nazir, if he does touch it physically, he has to shave. In other words, he breaks in his ears. Even Revius Adam, which is a quarter, not a half measure, that should suffice, which does make a person Tame if he's in the same tent as that blood. It's not a kavuchom that the nazir should shave. He comes in contact with it, either touching or carrying it. How can we say you need a half a measure of blood? It should be a quarter measure to suffice. Amar li, so Rabbi Elazar said back to me, Maza Akiva, what is this that he wants on Akiva? Ain't done it kavuchomer. We don't make kavuchomers in these matters. And Shabbosim Yitzay said one thing to Rabbi Shua when I came and said I was sending him in front of Rabbi Shua. He explained to me further. He said, he said, it's good what you're saying. It's a nice for him. But this is the halacha that a nozir, in other words, the halacha Moshe should be seen like that nozir's tumah does not necessarily parallel all tumas meis. Meaning, there's certain things which make a person tumah tumas meis, but don't break Nazirus. That's which is the theme of this parak. It's not necessarily the same thing. Time to learn over there. Shnayim Tmeim b'meis. You can have two people who are Tamei with a mace. Now, let's make it clear. This is a riddle. Okay? Two people become Tamei through a corpse. Echo Tamei to Mashiv, one's Tamei for 7 days. Echo Tamei to Maserv, one's only Tamei till nightfall. How do we have such case? What I was going to say. Another riddle. Shloshet may be mace. Three people become tamei the mace. Shnayim tamei to mashiva. Two are tamei for 7 days. Vechot tamei to maserv. One tamei only till nightfall. Arba tamei mace. Four people can tamei with the mace. Shlosha metamim to mashiva. Three of them are tamei till to all 7 days. Vechot tamei to maserv. One is tamei only till nightfall. How do these work? How do these work? So it says the Gemara, Ketzat, Shnei Bnei Adam Anogim B'meis. Actually, it should be Shnei Bnei Adam, comma Hanogea. Here on the side, it changes the text. Hanogea. If you have two people, the person Hanogea B'meis who touches guy number one, however, right? Guy number one touched the corpse. Guy number two touched guy number one. Right, you should say that's still nightfall. That's exactly. And the same way you learn all the other cases which he brought down. Rabbi Yochan, Mishem Rabbi Yana said, the Kulan Torah Hein Eitzo Truma. Now, that's only true, all of the things we're talking about in terms of Nazirus is only true about Nazirus. But if you're talking about by Truma, So even people further down the line, we come forbidden to eat truma and get flogged. Avabias hamikdash ein chayv, but until touching, coming to entering the base hamikdash, ein chayv ela al. It's only al. Now here I've thrown the lines of shari teres and Sroel throws in. It's only a rishon bilvad. It's only the first guy who touched the corpse. Avolo, but not Al-Hash, and going picking on side, Al-Shesh, Lagabish, not the same guy, Tuxh, the first guy. For not, so, Bias Mikdosh, entering the base of Mikdosh. Look, the mace is what? The mace is called in Halacha the Avi Avosa Tumah, the grandfather of Tumah, right? The first guy to touch it becomes a Av. And the second guy to touch it becomes a Rishon, which is very confusing. Because here the Yerushalmi uses Rishon in this sequence, Meis Rishon Sheni. But normally we say the Rishon is actually what the Yerushalmi would call here Sheni. You understand what I'm trying to say? So it's confusing. Okay, but so here when it says the Rishon who touches the Meis, he's now, if he enters Beis HaMikdash, he's like, because he's an off. He gets flogged, it's chayav koris. The Sheni who enters Beis HaMikdash, who's a Rishon Lituma, so he doesn't get flogged. Okay, because he's only that Sheni. Okay? So, Matam, why is that? The Isha Sheitmo Velo Yischato. It says a man who becomes Tami and does not get Yischato means have the poraduma ashes and water sprinkled on him. Hatonchitu, the guy requires having ashes and sprinkled and water sprinkled for 7 days. That's this guy who touched the dead body, right? So Hatonchitu chavo bias mikdash, he's liable for entering the base of mikdash tummy. Vishaintonchitu, a guy who does not require poraduma ashes sprinkled on him, and o chavo bias mikdash, he's not liable for entering the base of mikdash. You got that so far? This guy has to have the Rishon who touched the mace has to have ashes, but so he's not there basically. Or if he does, he's liable. This guy doesn't need paradum ashes sprinkled on him, right? He just needs nightfall. So therefore, he doesn't. If he enters basically mikdash, he's not liable. So it's only the avatuma, not the Rishon lutuma. Only the first guy touched the mace, not the same guy who touched the first guy. Okay. Says the Gemara, hey, Sivun, ask a question like this. What about a person who touches Kalim? Vinogim, Vinogim, and Mace. Now, this is important halacha. Look at the same idea if you have a mace, Zaviavos, and the mace is touched by. I have to turn it upside. You have a mace, right? And then who's Daviavos, and then you have instead a keli, which touched mace, a vessel. So then, actually, it's a big machlokas where it's only a only a metal vessel or any kind of vessel. Let's assume a metal vessel, a keli, and then you have an odom. The mace is touched by a keli, and the odom touched the keli. In that case, this odom also requires paraduma. Yeah. Because we say a keli transmits the same stature as the mace. The mace is an aviavos. The keli is also an aviavos. And therefore, this guy is of. So even though normally the third person is a rishon mutuma, in this case, the third person is an ovatuma. Okay, because the kelim don't diminish this, don't take it down a notch. They don't ratchet it down. Okay? So that's what Gemara says. The Gemara asks a question now like this. When they ask a question, Harei Adam, Hanogea Bekelim, Venogim Emes, Ton Chitui. He requires Chitui. He has to who's Sheni, but he's the second guy. So what's his status? Rabbi Abba said, special halacha by Nazir. Betumas Ish Beish, Velo Betumas Ish Bekelim. It's only man touching man, not man touching Kalim. In other words, even though this guy who touched the Kalim now becomes an Av, right? He's still not a Nazir. Nazir, if that's a Nazir, doesn't break his Nazirus. If he enters Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't break, he's not liable. Why is that? We don't know. But special because there's a custom, special halacha. Has to be a person who became Tommy in direct contact with the mace, not via the Kalim. That's what Rabbi Gorin had, a very very controversial heter, which we don't rely on, for a Kohen to go to medical school. That what he should do is he should put upon his neck a necklace, which is a Kalim, which touched the dead body. and that already made, and he's not forbidden, just like a kohen, you're allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, right, if you touch the necklace which touched the dead body. This guy who touched the keli, which touched the mace, allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, right? So his, he held that a kohen, and this is actually true, that a kohen who has a necklace which touched the dead body, he's allowed to wear that necklace. Even though it's not, even though it's the same halachic result as touching a dead body, he becomes an avatuma, but he's not allowed to touch a dead body, but he's allowed to wear the necklace. So his eitzah was, well, he should put on the necklace and then enter the hospital and deal with the cadavers. Because then when he's already tummy in a permissible way, there's no reason for him then to refrain from becoming additionally tummy. The flaw is that, who says? Maybe he's, on the contrary, since there is some leniency by the keli which touched the mace, so maybe then he can continue, maybe then that's precisely the fact, point that he can't go on then and go escalate that and touch the mace himself. No, but that's only coming in contact, direct contact with the mace. Not in contact with the keli, even though the keli is the same level of tumor. Okay? Milsad Rabbi Amrachia, according to Rabbi Amrachia, Eno Chayev Elar Rishon Bilvat. You're only liable if you're the first guy to touch a mace. Even if you're an Avatuma, as you saw the guy in contact with a Kayla, which came into contact with a mace, doesn't matter. Only the first person to touch the mace is liable. Okay? Me'achashilu Odom Odom Eno Chayev Rishon Bilvat. And that's because since we're at man to man to man, right? So only the first guy is forbidden, right? So because so to here, even though there's a keli involved here, which transmits the same level of tumah, nevertheless, enochayev el rishon bilvad, only be chayev the first guy. And of course, there is no first guy here. The guy is already to the second level, so he is not liable for entering Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't break his nazirus. Rabbi Yosef just says there's a catch here. This is that which a person is that which this guy is exempt if he enters the Beis HaMikdash, the Sheni, who's a Rishon LeTumah, who's only Tumah to Tummy till nightfall. It's only ready went to the mikveh and he enters the Beis HaMikdash is okay. But if he didn't go to the mikveh yet, then he enters the Beis HaMikdash, he's liable. Yeah. Okay? The way the Tful Yom and he ends the Beis HaMikdash is part. Vusha Tava. So he went to the mikvah. I'm Lo Tava, but you didn't go to the mikvah yet. Although the Rebbe, that's what Rebbe said. Call it Tmeim, but to Muslim, all Tmeim are considered to be Tame, at least that Shiva Maim until they come into water. Rebbe Ila said, Hu Ats Moshe. Now here I'm going to change a lot of stuff. I don't have a choice. Otherwise it wouldn't make any sense. Rebbe Ila. Hu atzmo shenoga, if he himself touched, it should be bekalim shenogu b'meis. So again, the same idea. I touched kalim, put on a necklace which is by worn on a dead body, right? So in that case, chayev. In that case, he's liable at the Beis HaMikdash, right? He argues in the previous case, a guy who touched a necklace touched by the mace, and then this Beis HaMikdash is liable. And I guess would break his Naziris too. Who, Amarav, Amar Taima. He said, and he gave a reason for it. It says, Asher Yitma, and the post goes on, Velo Yischato. Says, the person becomes Tame, he doesn't have the Paraduma ashes sprinkled upon him. Right? Betumas Ish, is talking about a tumor of a person. Even, it should be Bekalim who. Look, it's like he's a person who touched Kalim, which touched the mace. He has to have the Paradum ashes sprinkled on him. So therefore, he says, even this guy, if he enters the Beis HaMikdash, the Tame is liable, and also if he's a nut, it breaks his Nazirus. It would seem. So it's a very straightforward machlok. No, he argues. That is a very straightforward argument. He says, before we said only if the person touches the mace, now say even the person touches Kalim which touched the mace. Okay, so that's a straightforward argument. Okay? Says Gemara, Vuhu Shlishi. Says Gemara, this is,
What about, in that case, another, look, take one step further. You have mace, keli, adam, and then let's say we put a keli underneath that. This keli is a what now? No.
I thought only absorbs what
the... Yeah, but he's an up.
Oh, that's an up.
Right, because since we said a mace doesn't go down.
That's right.
So this guy, this Kaylee is a Rishon. You see why? The mace is Aviavos.
Right.
The Kaylee is also Aviavos, because it doesn't downgrade.
Right. That's right.
So the Adam is a of... And the Kaylee is a Rishon. Because at that point already it goes down. Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. Kaylee's enough. Good point. Okay? Very good. So his question is like this. Why do we say bigger Kiddush? Let's say that you're not allowed to... This keli can't enter the Beis HaMikdash. Even a keli which touched a man, which touched a keli which touched the mace, should not be allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. It says, well, you know what, you're right. That's true. Kidamar, theoretically, but we're talking about the man himself, because we're not talking about the man who came into contact with keli. Okay, now I'm not sure. It's not clear yet if I think not. I think what I just said is wrong. I waffled. I'm waffling. Let me rectify that. What I'm saying is that no, it has to be a person who came into contact with a mace, not a person, not a keli which came into contact with a mace. There's no such thing as a keli coming into contact with anything else which entering the Beis HaMikdash, bringing it into the Beis HaMikdash is a problem.
So what is the Kaylee if it touches the mace?
The Kaylee which touches the mace is a transmitter.
Right.
It's a carrier, but there's no problem in the Kaylee itself. So the Gemara immediately argues on this. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yisrikum Sherem said, Tanoi Tamo Plolig Rabbi Ila. I have a brice over there which argues Rabbi Ila. It says, passing brice actually. A keli which is chetio min adama. Now they change the gear so here. They change it to the tzion Yerushalayim here on the side changes to chelma. Whatever it is, it's metal. Okay? Even if it's ground, it doesn't mean actual ground, it means ore. Okay, I have a keli which is half made of metal, half made out of animal dung, which is not mitame. You're not liable if this keli enters the base of mikdash. Now, why? That's mipnei only mipnei shechetzi and adam chetzi me'agolim. The Gemara in the first only because half of it is metal and half of it is animal dung. If the entire vessel is iron, so you're chayev. So now the Yerushalmi asks, who's chayev? Manu chayev. Who's chayev? Lo sheni hashanoga barishinu. Now first we understand, what does it mean chayev? It must be that the person, the next person down the line who touched it becomes chayev. Right? This guy comes chayev for entering the base of Midrash, but that can't be. What does it can't be? Because what's this guy? He's a Rishon, right. Because we had here, very good. We had here, the mace is the Aviavos, the Kaylee next in line is Aviavos, the next person becomes an Av, the Kaylee next line becomes an Av, the other then becomes a Rishon, so he can't be Chayef, right? So what must we be talking about here? You know what it is talking about? And the Sarai Zarbila. If you toss this vessel to the Beis HaMikdash, you're liable for that. You're not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, Tomei. Nor you're allowed to throw something, Tomei, into the Beis HaMikdash. It's a fascinating concept, right? Okay? Says the Gemara, Ibishra, what? Yeah, so it's not like Rabbi Ela, because Rabbi Ela said before only people. It's only an issue on people. But this basically indicates it's an issue even in tossing objects. Okay? Says the Gemara, Armalese said, Ibishra's Roko. He said, if it's a, now this is not a question, looks like a question, but actually it's a confirming statement. Ibishra's Roko, if you're talking about that we toss it in, Kedor time, it's like the following Brysa, which tells us that there's already an issue in Kalim, and it's alluded to in this Brysa. Arachitza's Gufo, if you enter Beis Mikdash Tomei without having gone to the Mikvah, Rachitza means bathing yourself in the Mikvah, right? So on his Kores, you get flow, you get Kores. For our kibbutz guard, if you went in with Tomei garments which you hadn't washed, bar boim. Why? Why if you went in with Tomei garments? Mishumachnis came to Meim by Mikdash, because you brought Tomei Kalim into the base of Mikdash, because your garments were impure. So we see that this idea, which argues in Rabbi Ela, is implicit in this price too, right? That if you bring impure garments to the base of Mikdash, you're already flogged for that. Okay? I'm Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Kumi, I don't know who this is, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yochanan. Afanan, Nami, Ninan. We also in the Braisa, Hador, Misael, Hodan, Tanak, Tanaya, Kadmaya. We learn in the following Braisa a proof to the previous Tana, which is that, well, let's see how it's a proof. Says the Gemara, let me just check this, huh? Yeah, this is like Rabbi Ela. We're going to learn like Rabbi Ela, proof or like Rabbi Ela. The time Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shurmi Yeshua, let's say name Rabbi Yeshua, Kol Tumah in Ames, any tumah from Ames, Nozir Megaleach Olav, whenever we have a tumah from a dead body which a Nozir shaves for, breaks his tooth, his Nazirus. Not liable to be a smiktosh. So now, what does that tell us? What's the point of this? So obviously, the first guy who touches a mace where nausea does shave. The second level that a nazir doesn't shave on, you're not liable to be a smikdash. So look, according to this braisa, in this case, even he's not chayav and be a smikdash, even though he's an av, because this, if a nazir touched a kelim which touched a mace, it doesn't break his nazirus. So therefore, even an adam which touched a kelim which touched the mace is not liable for entering the Beis HaMikdash. Do you see that? Because of the linkage. This is not like we just learned that even if you toss this kelim, this bride, the bride we just learned before, it said even if you toss this kelim into the Beis HaMikdash, you're liable. According to this Braisa, wherever that we just learned, no, it's only even the Adam who touched that keli if he entered the Beis HaMikdash is not liable. Who's the only person who's liable? The only person liable is if you have a person who touched the mace. No other situation is going to make it liable to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, is that clear? If you have a person, according to, we have a machlokas now. What constitutes tumah, which upon entering the Beis HaMikdash makes you liable? Is there any tumah for which you have to get paraduma water sprinkled upon you? Right? Or is it only a tumah for which a nazir breaks his nazirus? If it's any tumah for which you have to have paraduma water sprinkled upon you, it's even the keli which touch a person, right? Which touch the keli, which touch the mace. Because this keli is also an avatuma, right? If you hold it's only the nazir, only too much a nazir is metame on, though, that it's only a person who touched the mace. Because even though a person touched a keli who touched the mace also has to have bar aduma ashes sprinkled upon him, but that's not a no. That's not matami and nazir. The only thing with matami and nazir is where it's actual contact with the mace. Okay. So Shani, Shana nazir megalechalav. That's what we're doing. The sixth line from the bottom. A second degree. The nazir doesn't shave on echalav abias mikdash. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Lutumos harporshos min lutumos harporshos min ames nitzurcha." He says, "The truth is," he says, "that this is talking about." He someone says an interesting concept. Can you hold that for another few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. He says a very interesting concept. He says that if the person came into contact with the mace, even down the totem pole, like this, you have a mace touch a keli, which touch an arm, shim touch a keli. So then, in this case, all these things entering the base of mikdash are being tossed in base of mikdash, make you liable. Everybody agreed with that. The only issue is, our mission is talking about not where you came into contact with the mace itself, but you came into contact with something which came from the mace. Bones. Blood. Limbs. It's not the same thing. He said a very interesting distinction. He says, if you're anywhere down the line which requires paraduma water sprinkled upon you, which started from an actual dead body, and it's glory as a full dead body, then everything down the line which requires paraduma water sprinkled on it enters base and makes you liable. The only time that we draw distinctions when you're only touching something which came from a dead body, such as the blood, the bones, rot, where it's not an entire dead body, but something which came from a dead body. Then it's only the person immediately came into contact with that substance who went liable to enter the base of Mikdash, not somebody further down the line. Okay? That's what he says. He draws a further distinction. He says, Revi is dam rovat somos. If you have a quarter of a measure of blood, a quarter of a measure of bones, Shana Nozir Megaleh Echalem, Nozir doesn't shave for touching that smaller measure. So therefore, somebody who comes in contact with that, he tie and answers the base, Amikdash, he's not liable. Chati, the Chati Logdam of half a measure of blood, or Chati Logdam of half a measure of bones, Shana Nozir Megaleh Echalem, which does, if Nozir does kind of come out with them, he does have to break his ears. Chalovin Abias Mikdash, do you liable for that for entering base of Mikdash after that? Okay? Amr Abi Yerim said, Havin Savina may want to say, Mapli, when is there a machlokas by Korba? In terms of to bring a korban by entering the base of Mikdash. Avlu Malkus, but in terms of flogging you, Afilu Ashlishi, Afilu Avi, even way down the line. Even it doesn't matter how little tumma you have, we give you Malkus. To bring a korban, being korban only if the flip side, if you hadn't done the intention of Chayav Kores, liable to excision, right? Then, if you wouldn't make Chayav Kores, then you bring korban. On the flip side. But to flog you, even if you have a minute degree of tumma in the base of Mikdash Tomei, will flog you. Tanya Yossi said, then come Rabbi Yirmiya, but Rabbi Yossi said, no, send in front of Yirmiya. Upoy Rabbi Yirmiya. Said, Bryce in front of Yirmiya, argue Rabbi Yirmiya. Says, no. Ko tumma min amesh or nozim migalechole. Only if it's a tumma, tumma from the mace which a nozir shaves on, then chale abias Mikdash, then you're liable for to flog on B.S. Mikdash. It's not severe enough for Nozir to shave on. B.S. Mikdash, you don't get flogged for it. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Boon said, Rabbi Yana, he said,
like Rabbi Yochanan, like we just read before, the Tmeas Parshas Min HaMeis Nitzacha, that's not necessarily, it's not a proof against Rabbi Yirmiyah, because it could be that that's only, when do I need it to be a very high level of contact when Tumas of some, when you touch them which came from a mace, right? Like, you know, the blood, the bones, the rot, then you have to come into direct contact. But it could be if you came, if it's a chain reaction began from a full mace, from a full-blown dead body, then maybe even further down the totem pole you get Malchus. That's what he's saying. Rabbi Yirmiyah was saying, even further down the totem pole you get Malchus, that's if you started from a full dead body. And then, you know, it's a chain reaction down the line. That which we see, that there's a brayso that says, no, it's only Tumas Shanozim or Galeach Aleihem, that's talking about specifically where you didn't come into contact with a full dead body, but with fragments of the dead body. Okay? So it says, Revius Dam Rovat Samash and Shanozim or Galeach Aleihem, then we say that the Revius of blood or Revius of bones, only a quarter measure, which Nozer does in Shevat, Echelev and Lame, you're not liable for them. Chati Log Dam, but Chati Log Atzomos, you have half a measure, Shanozim Galeach Aleihem, Loki and Lame, those has to be the same parameters of what a Nozer is Metame for. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening.